joining us right now. He's another guy who's a Hall of Famer. He's been with us all year long talking football, both college and pro, and we're so happy each and every week to welcome him in. Chris Landry joins us. Hello, Chris. How are you?
I am doing well, and just FYI, I always put on a tux every time I join you guys, so that's just how I roll.
Kevin
so.
Needs to step up his game,
there
man.
You go. There
Chris,
you go.
On a personal note, we really do love you, and we know you had some stuff going on during the vacation. I am so happy to hear you back and with us and sounding great and all that. I just want to give you a big, giant two thumbs up for that.
Oh, thanks a bunch. I appreciate it. Appreciate all the prayers and thoughts, and feeling a little better day by day, getting stronger, and ready to get back to work just in time. What a football weekend of, you know, four great NFL games and then the national championship game. I mean, it's a smorgasbord of for football fans.
So the easy question to ask you would be game of the weekend, and I imagine because we all agreed we're looking at Giants Packers. But set that aside for a second. Is there another game that's caught your eye?
You know, I would probably say. Maybe a slight edge to Pittsburgh, Miami. I think Miami can run the football. People think Pittsburgh's going to blow Miami out. They might, but I think it might be closer than people might think. And then just the, you know, can Detroit do anything on the road against Seattle? Seattle is, to me, not been very impressive. But at home, I expect them to win. But that's, you know, probably put that in that order. And we'll say, listen, you know, I don't, for all we know, the excitement level in terms of who's going to win the game, Oakland, Houston might be there as well. I just don't have much hope for the winner of that game going forward. So it certainly would be the lowest on the meter, I would think.
Chris, there's so much to be said for momentum, and you mentioned that Seattle-Detroit game, and Seattle is just one of those teams that seems to always be playing well at the right time of the year, and then you factor in that Detroit has not been playing well. A lot of that has to do with Stafford and that finger injury. Has that been the reason that they've been falling in the last 3 weeks, or you know, is that unrelated?
It's been a huge part of it. When you think about it, they have trailed in like 13, 14 games in the fourth quarter this year, have Detroit and Matthew Stafford's brought them back and made plays. It's been a critical part of their success. He's just not throwing the football the same. It's not the same. He's not going to sit there and make an excuse. He's going to say it's not that or anything, but it is. It's a huge factor. They don't have a good enough running game, and it's really kind of protected their defense a little bit most of the year, which is more vulnerable. So this is why the slide's kind of begun a little bit towards the end of the year, and why I think it's you know not likely that they win this week, but. Say this is not the Seattle team that we've come to expect come playoff time in recent years. The defense is not as good, although I think that having Michael Bennett back healthy is going to be pivotal and probably be enough, but you know they just haven't been the same type of team. And so I believe that hey, you put Seattle in at home, their chances are pretty good. They can compete with anybody and beat, you know, most people. But I don't see, obviously, in advance. I don't see them going on the road and beating anybody. So I think it's one and done for the Seahawks.
Well, and on the same kind of train of thought here, with Seattle not playing as well as they normally are this time of year, how much do you think kind of the dynamic of what's going on with that team? You've got Richard Sherman that's blown up a couple times. You had, you know, the Frank Clark and Jaron Reed that had to be separated on the sideline. Is that maybe an indication that there's some things within internally that are happening there?
I think that always there's frustration when you're losing. So I think it's more of a reaction to the problems in that I don't think they're controlling the line of scrimmage on offense. I think that's been a huge problem. And I think defensively, they haven't been as good, and that's led to frustrations. And listen, when you're dealing with a Richard Sherman type of personality, I mean, he talks, he mouths, he's someone that just, oh, that's Richard when you're winning. When it's not, then it's challenging coaches and stuff on the sideline, and then it becomes a distraction. So, sure, I think it can be distracting, but I think what's really distracting is their play that's leading to the frustration that's leading to the blow-up. So, I'm very curious to see how the defense plays, particularly up front. As I said, having Michael Bennett back is you know key, and I think their pass rush, which has always been underrated in the success of their defense with you know the greatness of their secondary, is even more important with a key cog, you know, missing out of their secondary now.
Chris Landry at Landry Football with us on KHTK. As we look at the Raiders, Chris, Connor Cook getting his first start this weekend. And when Cook was coming out of college, you know, there were semi-mixed reviews on him. Mm-hmm. You know, people say he was a decent player, but the big knock on him was his personality. People said he was basically a jerk, and then he big-timed Archie Griffin at the Big Ten Championship game. And he fell in the draft because of that. And I'm wondering, like, if you take all of the rookie quarterbacks starting on the road out of the equation, what's your scouting report on Connor Cook going into this weekend?
Well, you know, he still has really good pass skills, and I think he's certainly not had much time to be developed. That's the biggest issue. It's not so much that, you know, in terms of a prospect, you know, him not having a chance to succeed in this league, because I think he does. But, you know, at this stage, in this moment, but more importantly, without the natural progression of development, which, you know, when you're the third quarterback, you're not getting any reps. You're working scout team. It's one of the biggest problems. I promise I won't get off on a soapbox, but it's one of the issues of why we should have bigger roster sizes. And we should have, you know, if you want to, the whole CBA, you should let young guys, you know, practice longer, and I think you would have a better product. But we'll leave that alone for today. I think that that's the biggest issue. Remember, and this goes to show you that you need to be prepared, you need to do a good job, but it takes a little luck to win in this league. Remember that the Dallas Cowboys wanted to trade up for Paxton Lynch and lost out. The guy they wanted to draft was Connor Cook, not Dak Prescott. He was gone, so they settled, in air quotes, for Dak Prescott. So just goes to show you how – does that mean that Connor Cook's going to perform like Dak Prescott? No, I don't expect that. The circumstances are different, and the surroundings are a little different. But, you know – I think the young man has some ability, but they certainly would be – listen, let's look at the Raiders, call it what it is. This has been a great year that's gone bad towards the end, and a big part of their success was Derek Carr not only being the leader, but being the guy that kind of made the big plays for them, that took a lot of those games that could have made it, you know, a 10-win season or 9-win season and made it into a great season. They don't have that. My concern is looking at last week's performance, and I know they'll say, well, playoff seeding's not that big on the line. That team looked like they lost their heart. Like they just felt like, oh, all the work this year is gone to heck in a handbasket because we don't have our leader. And that's got to change. I mean, they've got to go out and say, look, we're going to do our part defensively, special teams, the running game, everything around this young guy, because they can go on the road to win this game if they do. If they don't, and they kind of play the woe is me attitude, then they're going to get run in first round.
Chris Landry joining us on KHTK. Chris, who deserves more scrutiny, 7-9 Sean Payton, who just fired 5 assistants, or 8-8 Chuck Pagano?
Oh, I would say that, you know, Sean Payton, because of the two, Sean has personnel authority and role in New Orleans, and he's fired some longtime guys, and I think trying to make some cosmetic moves to make things more than Chuck Pagano, who, if you look at the problems in Indianapolis, and you could make a great case for cleaning house there, of the two, the one that has failed the organization the most is the general manager, Ryan Grigson. That Chuck Pagano's done a better job of coaching than Grigson has is putting together and assembling the personnel around him. So if you are only going to keep one, and again, I think you can make a strong case that the house should be clean there, I think Chuck would be the one that would deserve to survive over Ryan Grigson personally.
I'm wondering, Chris, when you look at this weekend's schedule and you see that Packers, maybe because I'm a Packers fan, but that Packers-Giants game, the Giants have had a lot of success against the Packers. But when you look at the momentum that the Packers have built and the fact that, you know, Aaron Rodgers hasn't thrown an interception during this win streak of theirs, does that game, is it a blowout to you in terms of, or is it going to be very evenly matched?
I think it's going to be pretty evenly matched, Katie. I think it's... Listen, we've seen the Giants go into Green Bay before and have success. This defense is for real. They've got an outstanding secondary that can match up. It's given some of the Packers some problems. You know, Janoris Jenkins has played Jordy Nelson well in the past. So they've got a lot of things going for them. Offensively, we know Eli's been there. He's not played quite the same. The protection hasn't been great off the edges, but Odell Beckham can make enough big plays. Here's what this game comes down to in my mind. When you play Green Bay, you must make sure that Aaron Rodgers doesn't get outside the pocket and extend plays, because if he does, he's going to beat you. So the best coverage and the best rush, if he can escape it, then that's where the big plays take place, and that's where Green Bay goes from that team that, you know, misses the playoffs to a team that can make a Super Bowl run. It's that ability to do that, as well as he's been able to do that. If they can do that, they've got a good shot. I like the way Green Bay's playing coming into this game, mainly because of Aaron Rodgers. Need, obviously, more you know, consistency in the running game. And it's, again, it's going to be a challenge for those receivers to get open. But something tells me Green Bay gets it done at home here. But I think it's going to be a great matchup. They've got it set it up correctly in my mind. I think it's the may not be the best game. We never know how it goes. But in terms of the matchup, that's the most intriguing. And certainly, if you're looking at, in my mind, of the teams this week that have a chance of doing damage in the playoffs, two of them are in this game. The winner of this game has a really good shot, along with Pittsburgh. I think everybody else is, you know, they're playing this week, but they're not going to be playing, you know, very long in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Landry with us on KHTK. Chris, I got a non-playoff question for you. There was a video that was floating around over the last couple of days of Kirk Cousins on the sideline after that back-breaking interception on Sunday. When he was, I don't think it was Jay Gruden he was talking to, but he was speaking to one of his coaches, and he was really fired up. I don't know if he knew the camera was on him, but he says, hey, he slipped, man. It was a perfect, he was really vehement. It was a perfect pass. His receiver screwed up, ran the wrong route, slipped, whatever it was. Now, that's not what I saw on that play, but aside from that, I mean, is that kind of an alarming thing for a guy that is, you know, up for a big contract, questions whether or not he's a franchise quarterback, and in a big moment like that, there's a lack of accountability?
Well, not really, because on the sidelines, during the course of the game, when you come on the sidelines, you know, you see what you see as a coach on the field, as a coach in the box, as a player. You know, and the emotions are really high, high-pressure moment. I think it's more of an issue when you go into the film room, which it normally doesn't happen. You go in, you look at it, and then you come to the conclusion of, hey, what happened here and, you know, where the fault was. I don't see that as, to me, as a big issue. I mean, he may, you know, he may be wrong in his assessment, but in his belief, you know, he thought he was doing what he was taught, and I just think that happens all the time. The only difference in today is that we've got cameras that catch it all, but a lot of things happen on the sidelines that's just part of the normal procedure. I'm more concerned about the fact that he didn't play all that well. As a team, they didn't play very well. And that's a game when you've got a chance to win it with essentially a playoff game to get in, and they played as poorly as they did overall. That's overall concerning, but just the reaction on the sidelines, not that big deal.
Last thing for Chris Landry, 5 o'clock Pacific this Monday. It's just simply a coronation for Alabama at Raymond James Stadium as they prepare to win yet another national title. Chris, do you agree with that statement, or is Clemson going to give them more than we think?
I think Clemson's going to give them a real shot. I think this is going to be the toughest national championship challenge for Nick Saban, because this Clemson team is the one team that when they're hitting on all cylinders offensively, they can move the football even on Alabama. Now, here's what it comes down to in my view. Deshaun Watson and Clemson has consistently turned the football over this year. If that happens, Alabama will make them pay. As we know, they do the best job of turning turnovers into points directly and indirectly. Let's look out for that. But I think Clemson's best game, they're probably overall from a talent standpoint a little bit more balanced than even Alabama. Alabama's the best defensively. They've got the best coach probably of all time. And they've got an offensive line, a running game, and all the components to be able to run the football on offense. But I think this is going to be a really good matchup, and I expect to see Clemson's best game. And if Clemson has their best game, they've got a really good shot at not only competing but even pulling the upset. And, you know, I know it's an upset from a Vegas standpoint, but from a talent standpoint, That game last year that they played, and we don't know if it's going to play out quite the same, Clemson actually outplayed Alabama in a lot of respects, and it was Nick Saban stealing an extra possession, doing a great job coaching, that won that championship for Alabama in that game. So I think this has a chance to be a really good game. The difficult part is when you look at the entire year, Clemson was up and down. Yes. They didn't play other well, but that continues. Certainly they're going to get beat, but that was a completely different type of team. And they tend to be inconsistent, but they also tend to play their best in biggest moments. I kind of expect them, if they play their best, they've got a good shot here.
Chris, I'm going to squeeze in one more question before we let you go. Matt Ryan and the Falcons overall don't get a whole lot of love, and he's 1-4 all time in the playoffs, but has had an MVP caliber season. Is this going to be a different year for Matt Ryan and the Falcons?
I think it is. I'm calling it now. I think that the NFC Championship game is going to be in Atlanta, Green Bay against Atlanta.
Ooh.
I think that's where it's. I think that's where it headed. I think Green Bay wins this week, and I think that they end up beating Dallas. I do think that Atlanta wins their first game, and then by virtue of the record, I think they host the game. It wouldn't surprise me at all. No disrespect to Dallas, wouldn't surprise me if they take care of business either. But I think that he's done a good job, and I thought about it. I don't put a whole lot of concern over it. But if you're looking at MVP, Tom Brady had an MVP year, Aaron Rodgers, down the stretch, but the most consistent one was Matt Ryan. I mean, he had games that weren't quite as good as others, but he is such the integral part of them winning and their success overall, and he did it consistently, more consistently than the other two, obviously for different reasons. Brady out 4 games. So this could be different. We'll see. But I absolutely got a feeling that's how it might play out.
Chris, we got a break, but before we let you go, always have to tell our listeners, where can they find you and your expertise?
LandryFootball.com, and of course we break down the playoff games, the national championship game, but we're getting deep into the off season of football business, recruiting, free agency, the draft, and so check us out at LandryFootball.com. We've got really good discounts and an opportunity to get involved, and we appreciate you having us on always, and look forward to having more of your great listeners visit our site.
Awesome, Chris. We were off for 2 weeks. You were in our thoughts, as we mentioned. Always appreciate your time each and every week.
Hey, thanks. Enjoy the games this weekend, and talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. That is Chris Landry joining us. We got a break. Big show, I told you. We talked about it at 6 a.m. This thing's packed because we've got Sam Amick of USA Today and a Sacramento guy, as you know, coming up next. And we'll catch you up to date on all the stuff going on with Atlanta, not just Kyle Korver going to Cleveland, but how Sacramento is now involved in the Paul Millsap sweepstakes. So Sam Amick's going to talk to us about that. And then at 8:30, Seth Payne, who hosts Mad Radio on KILT in Houston. He's going to come on, former Texans defensive tackle, and he's going to talk to us about this weekend's Raiders-Texans game. Stay tuned. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.